If you want to build a successful political movement, conservative or liberal, one place to look for inspiration is the presidency of Ronald Reagan. Whether or not you admire his politics, Reagan is hailed as the great communicator and revered among conservatives for his powers of persuasion and for articulating difficult political positions to the American public. Julian Zelizer is a presidential historian and a professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. He told me why Reagan's still so relevant today.
Well, he's become a symbol to the conservative movement of conservatives coming to power and conservatives reshaping public debate in the United States. He remains the icon for the movement. He remains, the FDR of the Republican Party. And so I think that's why his staying power is so great. And we've had many myths made about him that are central still to the conservative movement.
But it wasn't just what he believed, was it? I mean, there was something about the man himself. I mean, we've talked, of course, over the years about his comfort in the office, the sweaters that he wore, his history as an actor has to have played some part in it. Was there something about his personality that made him particularly memorable?
Yeah, look, there are three parts of Ronald Reagan. There are the ideas, there are the policies, and then there's the person. And the person was very important. He was a very charismatic figure. He embodied for many Americans, even those who didn't like him, what strong leadership was. He had a comfort in front of television cameras and in front of audiences that's often lacking, even in our greatest presidents. And so I think when people remember who he was, they remember this very strong leader. And that was important in terms of what the Republican Party and what conservatism could put forward, especially after a decade of Watergate, stagflation, and before that, Vietnam.
You described him as the FDR of the conservative movement. In fact, he was a New Deal Democrat, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, he started as a Democrat, and, you know, for the early part of his life, that's the party he identified with. But very early on, by the 1940s and 1950s, he was creeping toward conservatism. So it happens pretty early in his life still.
One of the things that Reagan is credited with is that he moved the country to the right. What is it that he did to manage that?
Well, I don't know if he moved the country to the right. I think the country was moving right, and that's part of why he was elected president in 1980. A conservative movement had emerged in the 1970s. It involved everything from local activists in the South who were mobilizing voters and putting money behind candidates to new think tanks in Washington, such as the Cato Institute, that were producing ideas and policy briefs about things like tax cuts or deregulation. And what Reagan did was not only was he part of that whole movement, but he was able to articulate the ideas that they were talking about and make them look not as extreme, but as mainstream. And if he moved the country to the right, it was more that he sold and convinced more Americans that the ideas of this conservative movement were the ideas of the majority in this country. And so on many areas, from taxes to national defense, he was able to sell policies that had fallen in disfavor in the previous decades.
There were so many things that happened during his presidency, some of which, at least, he was responsible for. But I have the sense that it was the way in which he managed to articulate the conservative mission, the ideals of the conservative party, that made a difference. You talk about his speeches. I wonder if you could talk a little more in specifics about that. What was it about the way he presented the message that seemed to resonate with people?
He had an amazing ability to mix detail and even statistical information with good stories. And you can go back to 1964 when he really came to the national spotlight when he made a speech for Barry Goldwater, who was running against Lyndon Johnson. And it was a televised advertisement that looked like a speech. And he gives this amazing address in which he really just goes after all the key liberal policies flooding the listener with data and statistics about why the welfare system doesn't work, why the tax system doesn't work, and at the same time sprinkling it with very human stories that, you know, were easy for people to understand. And I think he did that throughout his presidency. So in 1981, when he's selling this tax cut, a historic tax cut, a regressive tax cut, which benefited wealthier Americans, you know, he combined, on the one hand, arguments about supply-side economics and why reducing taxes for wealthier Americans and business was ultimately better for the whole nation, you know, with stories about himself, for example, paying very high taxes when he was an actor because the rates were at 90% after World War II. And that combination, I think, was always his most effective tool in giving speeches.
Here we are decades later, and it's almost as though he could hop onto a platform if he were around and give those same speeches again, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and the irony is, you know, many people didn't like Ronald Reagan in the 1980s. There's now this memory that, you know, liberals got along with him, all the conservatives revered him. But if you look at the newspapers, say in the mid-1980s or late 1980s, you would see, you know, liberals were furious with the redistribution of wealth that took place under his presidency, with the deregulation of many industries and with a massive buildup of defense. And many conservatives didn't like him. They thought in the end he was too moderate, that he caved on tax increases. He increases taxes in 1982 and 1983. They thought he was not cautious when he made peace with Gorbachev. Many conservatives thought Gorbachev was not serious and that he was just a tool of the Kremlin. And so it was a very contentious period when he was president. But I think now that's not what people remember. On both sides of the aisle, there's a kind of nostalgia for Reagan that allows us to imagine him coming back and giving speeches in a way that neither Democrat or Republican could do today.
This is another example of the way in which Reagan is seen differently by different sides. Modern Democrats are now looking at Reagan. They seem to have adopted the idea that they should take the things he did that they would have done and point to them as ways that the country could go forward. Is there any value to Democrats in looking back to Reagan?
Sure. I mean, look, if you have an effective leader, whether he supports what you are for or he's against what you are for, there's still a value in trying to understand leadership. And, you know, it's hard to argue he wasn't a very powerful president and a president who had a lasting impact. So I think, you know, there's some merit to why a President Obama might look back at Reagan to try to understand how he persuaded the nation to support his policies, how he sometimes was able to win over Democrats who fiercely opposed what he was doing. And important for Obama, I guess, is how Reagan often went against the base of his own party. And angered them, yet in the long term became a hero to them. And so I assume all of that is relevant to a Democratic president today.
I remember Reagan quite clearly, and I remember how strong the opinions about him were. And it's hard to imagine the same man is the one that they're talking about now as they look back to Reagan as a bridge figure.
It's not the same man, and it's not the same political figure. You know, Reagan was not a unifier. He imagined himself to be, and he was able to win re-election with large majorities. But he was someone who put forth policies, really created pretty bitter debates in this country. If you asked most House Democrats in the 1980s what they thought of Reagan, they would have said, here's a president who's redistributing wealth from the middle class to the wealthy. Here's a president who is reckless in his foreign policy. Here is a president who is not taking seriously the fact that many people are not conservatives and not part of this Republican revolution. But today, that's forgotten. And so we remember a Reagan who's very different than the Reagan from that period.
Do you think Reagan changed the landscape of politics in America?
He did. Again, he was not the cause, but he did capture the ideas of a movement, and he was able to sell them politically. And so A lot of the ideas that had been circulating among conservatives, some had been fringe ideas, some had been more popular in Republican circles. He was the one who sold it to the nation. That's what a successful president could do. So he could take this idea of why reducing taxes for the wealthy and business would ultimately improve the entire nation. And he was able to sell that idea to the country, at least for a bit. He was able to sell the idea in the aftermath of Vietnam why we should place incredibly heavy investment in the defense budget and why we should build it up rapidly and dramatically, even if it increased the deficit. All of those are ideas that have stuck and remain very important. In that way, he shifted debate. He also made an argument, which we don't remember as much, about presidential power. And he was one of the conservatives who believed Congress had become too strong in the 1970s and that the executive should have a lot of power to do what was needed. And that's an idea that I think also remains very much part of our political landscape.
Julian Zelizer is a presidential historian and a professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University.